Good morning, everyone. Everybody give each other a wave. I know we've got folks that are here in our multi-purpose building. We've got folks that are outside. We have folks that are over in our sanctuary. We are attempting to do a live stream as we speak. We're trying to work out any technical difficulties, so we do have a backup plan just in case that doesn't work, that we'll still have video for those that are out in our viewing land, those that were not able to be here today. But if you are, like I say right now, I'm not real sure, but at any rate, we're glad that you are with us today to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin, and we look forward to having this time to be able to gather around the Word and each other during this beautiful Lord's Day. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to just come into your presence. Lord, we realize that church really is not about a building, it's about a people. And Father, we have had so many opportunities to be still in your presence. Lord, we've had the opportunities to reflect upon our walk with you. And Lord, today I pray that as we come together that we will truly hear from you. We know that where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. And Father, I am so glad and so grateful that we have this opportunity. May we never take it for granted. So Lord, bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen.
My strength, my
Amen. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me this morning, if you would, to the book of Jonah, chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, back several weeks ago, we had an opportunity to kind of begin discussing around God's Word the fact that that here was a city called Nineveh, a place that God wanted to save. They had turned essentially away from God. And God wanted to get their attention. We've been talking about this season of COVID-19 and one of those circumstances and situations about the fact that each and every one of us have had an attention getter in some way, shape, form, or fashion in our lives. I still believe that God is trying to get the attention of America, and He is trying to get the attention of each and every one of us individually as born-again believers. The question is, will we pick up what it is that God has for each and every one of us? So God wanted to get the attention of this place called Nineveh, and He was going to do so in using His servant named Jonah. Now, we looked at chapters 1 and 2 back several weeks ago, and we found that God had gone to Jonah, and He said, I want you to go to this place called Nineveh. It is a wicked city. I want you to prophesy against it. And He said, there's going to be a time limit. There's going to be a time frame. It's going to be 6 weeks. They're going to have 6 weeks before they can repent or judgment is going to rain on them. Well, most of us know that story if we've been around church any in our lives about the fact that instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah went in a completely opposite direction, and God allowed a storm to take place. And by the way, that didn't take him by accident. God knew that was going to happen. He caused the big fish to swallow Jonah once he was cast overboard. And he caused the big fish to spit him back out again on dry land. None of these things happened by accident. And folks, no matter where you are in your life, I want you to know today that God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what is taking place. And there is a reason behind it. There is something that He wants you and I to know in the midst of all this. And Jonah was reluctant, but part of the reason he was reluctant was the simple fact that he couldn't stand the Ninevites. He didn't like them. He didn't want to have anything to do with them. And if you were sitting back looking at it and you were trying to pick a person to actually go and prophesy against Nineveh, Jonah would have been the last person that you and I would have picked. As we said, well, we know how Jonah feels about those Ninevites. Let's not send him. Let's send somebody who has a love in their heart for these people. But no, God had a lesson for Jonah along the way as well. And it's interesting that how we kind of looked at our scriptures and the way chapter 2 ended and chapter 3 begins. Now, we remember that God had called him, and God had said, this is what I want you to do. We know that Jonah had gone in the opposite direction, but here's something else God is really good at. It was good in Jonah's life, and it is good in your life and my life. And to look at it at chapter 3 of the book of Jonah, it's only 10 verses, so we're going to read that whole chapter, but notice how it starts off. Jonah chapter 3 verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." Verse 3, "So Jonah arose, and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Verse 5, "So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covering himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Let us pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we're so thankful for your word. Lord, we are so thankful for, first of all, that you know each and every circumstance and situation in our lives. But Lord, we are also grateful for the fact that it's for a purpose and it has a plan. And Lord, that in the middle of it, you have not forsaken us. You are right there. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to turn to you, just like the city of Nineveh did. Lord, we pray that we will see our evil ways, that we will see where we are walking in error with the way that your word would have us to walk and the way that you would have us to walk. Lord, just move in our hearts and our lives right now as only you can. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the greatest things that we see in this regard is that even though Jonah was one of those people who blatantly disregarded what God had told him to do, in his disobedience, he went in a completely opposite direction. God, in the midst of getting his attention, did something that he will do for you and I. Notice how we begin in chapter 3 when it says this. It says, "And the word came to Jonah again." The second call came after a failure. The second call came after a chastening. Now, I know that there are many people, probably those that are listening to this broadcast today, those that are in our midst who sit back and say, well, you know what? I have had a horrible failure in my life, and I am no longer worthy to be used by God. And what happens is Satan will get into our hearts and Satan will make us believe that we are of no use to God anymore. I want to remind you that there were many folks in the Bible who had failures along the way, that not only when they repented did God restore them, but God used them in a mighty, mighty fashion. Think about Peter for just a moment, how he denied the Lord 3 different times, and he wept bitterly in the fact that he did that. But I'm always recalled to the scripture that we read at the resurrection when Mary was told by Jesus to go tell the disciples, and they added in the "and Peter," because Peter was still included. I think about King David, and I think about how he failed and how he tried to hide it, and in the midst of it, God chastened him to call him back home. And when David repented, he was restored once again. And for each and every one of us today, where we've messed up, God, through repentance and through forgiveness, will restore us and he will use us. We are still pliable clay in the hands of the potter as long as we make ourselves willing. And folks, I want us to understand too, we have got to stop listening to the devil who is telling us that we're no longer worthy. We are worthy through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. That's what makes us worthy and nothing else. And when he says to you, "My child, come forth," He puts His hand in yours and yours in His, and He will lift you up. We've got to stop with the guilt. Stop with the shame. Stop allowing things that God has already forgiven you of to hold you back from being what it is that God wants you to be. When you think about this, here was a horrible failure on behalf of a man named Jonah. Not only was it a horrible failure, it was a blatant failure. It was not one that happened, it snuck up on him. He knew he was going in the wrong direction. God had to get a hold of him, and God had to shake him. And when God got a hold of him, and when God shook him, He brought him back into use of service, because he had a lesson that he needed for him to learn. So there was a second calling, and like I like to say it, it was a second chance. Folks, there are many of us out there today that need a second chance. That's what you want. That's what you're begging for. Let me promise you, God will give you that second chance as you repent. There were so many things about Jonah's response to God's call that were wrong. Jonah's attitude was wrong. He knew better than that. He knew better than to hate the people of Nineveh. He knew better than to go in the wrong direction. That was another huge mistake. His fleeing. He knew better than that, and so do you and I. You cannot outrun God. There is no mountain too high. There's no valley too low that you can escape God and His conviction. You might as well give up. Yeah, we see Jonah was one of those who chose his self-will. He thought that he knew better than God. Man, how many times have we done that? Well, Lord, let me go ahead and take it from here. No, God says, here's the plan that I have for you. See, chastening comes to the wayward child of God. If you were here and you were walking out of step and you were walking outside of the will of God, let me promise you that God is chastening you. Much like you as a parent chasten and correct your children, God is chastening and correcting you. You've heard me say this numerous times. But the most miserable people on the face of this planet are not people who don't know the Lord, because they don't know any better. The most miserable people on the face of this planet are believers who are outside of the will of God, because I promise you that God is chastening those people to bring them back in to fellowship with Him. He chastens the wayward child. Are you being chastened today by Almighty God? You see, Christians can never get away with sin. Yeah, I've said this, and I said it just a moment ago. The storm that took place when Jonah got on the ship was no accident. The great fish that swallowed Jonah was no accident. Now, I'm here to tell you today that you can take your situation and you can look at it, and I want you to add this. It is no accident. God has a plan, He has a reason, and He has a purpose for all the things that you and I go through. See, there are examples of those under God's chastening, such as Israel. Israel had been disobedient to God, and it caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. We think about Samson in the Bible, how he had his eyes gouged out, and how he was sitting there grinding at that mill in that prison house. He was blind and he was powerless until he was restored by God for one final feat. But see, God's grace reaches those who have failed. I love that word grace. It is something that is exercised, and I believe oftentimes something that is so misunderstood by each and every one of us. Yeah, grace is defined as unmerited favor. It means we don't deserve it. How many times in the middle of our situations do we sit back and say, well, Lord, I know I've done wrong and I'm hurt and I don't deserve Your grace. God says, you know what? You're absolutely right. You don't. But that's why it's called grace. It is unmerited favor. You didn't do anything to earn it. You didn't do anything to deserve it. But because I love you, I will bestow upon you grace. Unmerited favor. Peter was one of those who wept because of the denial. But he became a spokesman for the church later on. God will meet you exactly where you are, in the middle of your circumstances and in the middle of your situations. The second chance that Jonah had, this second chance also came with Jonah's old commission. He didn't hear anything new at the start of chapter 3. Yeah, once he took off, once he went the wrong way, once God caused the storm, once Jonah was thrown overboard, once he was swallowed by the big fish, once he was spit back out on the beach, probably thanking God for the fact that he had survived the event and survived the ordeal, God said, Jonah, you need to go to Nineveh. And it's at that particular point, you're going, okay, I get it now. Some of us have been in those positions before. The calling of God in Jonah's life did not change. The marching orders, the commission was the exact same thing. And the second call is evidence of God's wonderful grace in the life of Jonah. Jonah must have thought everything was all over at the time when he was in the belly of a fish. Now, I want you to think about what that must have been like for a moment. First of all, just kind of insert yourself into that situation. You know that you're in a circumstance or a situation. You know that you're running from God. Jonah, by his own words in chapter 2, said that he knew that the storm was caused, and he was the cause of the storm. He said, you need to throw me over. They didn't want to do it, but eventually they did. And when they did, the word tells us the storm ceased at that particular point. At that point, the guys are probably thinking, well, you know what? We made a pretty wise choice. Then it says a big fish swallowed Jonah. Now, put yourself in Jonah's place. You have just been tossed over in some raging seas, pretty much in your mind knowing, oh, I'm going to die here. Could you imagine what it must have been like when that fish swallowed him? Now, growing up, I used to do a whole lot of bass fishing. And boy, I watched him go over there and watch a bass hit that bait. Could you imagine being in Jonah's place when that fish just came up and went whoop and just swallowed him? Yeah, and then all of a sudden, he's sitting in the belly of a great fish. I mean, what are you pondering at this point? At this particular point, I'm hoping you're sitting there going, maybe I should have listened to what God was trying to say. I'm alive, and I'm still here for a reason. There's a reason I'm not dead right now. And it says that he had 3 days to ponder that. Imagine that fish just swimming around in the ocean and you're hanging out in the belly of a great fish, still probably wondering whether or not it's over. And then on that third day, this fish swims up. I can imagine it just kind of swims up to the beach and it goes, whoop, and here's Jonah. And Jonah's sitting there thinking, I've got a second chance. I've got a new chance at life. Now, all of a sudden, he begins to get excited, and in the midst of that, God says, Jonah, you need to go to Nineveh. He reminds him once again. He gives him a second chance. Jonah must have thought in the middle of all the circumstance, yeah, he thought that deliverance was the best thing that could happen. Just being alive would probably be the best thing that could happen to him. He probably doubted that God could ever use him again and that what was going on was punishment in his life rather than a circumstance designed to draw him back into what God's will for his life was. You see, the God of second chance. Now, I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about service. You know, when you trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you never lose that. But what happens is we have tendencies to disobey God, and we have tendencies to break fellowship with Him. You're not losing your salvation there, but what happened in this particular regard was that Jonah had lost the opportunity for service, but God was not going to take no for an answer. I've said this many, many times, and I pray that if you're listening to this, that you will hear this and hear it well for your own life. God has a plan for your life that nobody else can accomplish but you. He has you specifically set up and pointed out to do a particular task. And too many times we want to sit back and say, well, let somebody else do it because it will take time. It may take some money. It may take some effort. It may take some energy. Let somebody else do it. There is nobody else that can do it except for you. God has called you out for that particular purpose. And much like Jonah, He is not going to let you get away with being disobedient to His will. Sometimes He has to give you a lift to where you need to be in the same manner in which He did with Jonah. And God called him a second time with the exact same message that He gave him the first time. Now, Jonah, at this second call, we have to also realize and understand that that second call came in spite of the fact that Jonah would fail again. Now, I've said a moment ago that if we know this story, we realize that Jonah still had an attitude problem. Jonah still had a problem with the Ninevites. In the passage we just read, it says that Nineveh, from where Jonah was a 3 days journey, but he made it in 1 day. He must have been moving. I mean, he must have said, well, I'm going to get on down there to Nineveh. I'm going to do my job. We would probably think that at that point, Jonah has surrendered to God's will for his life. But yet, as we read on, we find out that had not changed his attitude. Jonah still did not like the Ninevites. Jonah still detested them. Jonah was still waiting for God to destroy them because of their disobedience without looking at his own life and looking at his disobedience. Folks, have you ever noticed that people are really, really good about wanting to clean up somebody else's backyard when their own looks like Fred Sanford's lot? You understand what I'm saying? All right? Y'all wake out there? You wake out there? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It looks like a junkyard. Yeah, the Word of God tells us if we spend time making sure we're right with God and we spend time making sure that we're in step with what His will and purposes are, then we won't have time to clean up somebody else's backyard. Jonah had a problem. And even though God forcefully brought him back into His will, and even though God sent him to that place called Nineveh, it still had not changed Jonah's thoughts. It still had not changed his heart nor his feelings about the Ninevites at that point. And we will see that next week when we begin to get into chapter 4. But Jonah was displeased with the fact that Nineveh repented. I still have so much trouble wrapping my head around that. And this is going to be coming in chapter 4. You know, here was a man who was disappointed because he succeeded. I've often shared it this way. It would be like the Lord telling me, you need to go to the town of Oak Ridge and you need to proclaim repentance. And all of a sudden, the whole town repents. We would sit back and say, that is a phenomenal thing, that God was good and God was great in doing that. And man, what a tremendous opportunity that would be. Jonah didn't do that. Jonah got mad because the people repented. It says that not only did the people repent, the king also repented. Here is an evangelist. He was pouting over the fact that a whole city repented. Doesn't make sense, does it? You know why? Because Jonah's hatred was so deep. You know what? We see that in our society. We are in the middle of going through that right now. We see so much hate in our world. We see, and the part that amazes me is that oftentimes our hearts and our attitudes seem to be pointed in that direction as well. We see the situations and the circumstances even right now that we're going through with racism. We see heavy-handedness. We see all these things. And folks, it's a tragedy. It really is. You know, the Lord, I loved it when we sang it as children. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And we're to be concerned about the souls of each and every one. We've got to stop hating on each other. We've got to start loving one another. We've got to stop allowing the hate to creep into our hearts and to creep into the hearts of the church and to creep into the hearts of the people. It's got to stop, because the Lord said, you will know they are Christians by their, come on, by their what? By their love. You will know they're Christians by their love. Listen, you can't love somebody and hate them at the same time. And we need to see that change. We need to see that repentance in the hearts and the lives of the American people, in the hearts and the lives of God's church. And I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about the people. We need to see it on an individual basis. We need to see it on a corporate basis, that we might not have the same attitude that Jonah had, that we get upset or displeased when people repent. What a hard heart Jonah had, and what a hard heart we can often have. But I'm here to remind us today that God still loves us. God still loves you. And because of that, He will chasten you, that you would come inside of His will for your life. Whatever your past may be, I want you to know that God will meet you where you are today. There have been people that I know that I have spoken with that for years and years they have been running from God. You can't outrun God. I promise you today, you can't outrun God. It's time to surrender. It is time to once again have peace in your heart and peace in your life. God is here today to meet you. If you are watching over the stream, if you are watching in other states, I promise you that God is meeting you right where you are this very moment today. He is speaking to your heart, and the question is, what will you do with what He's telling you? Will you be like Jonah and go in the opposite direction? Or will you be like one who repents? Will you be like the town of Nineveh, who came back into the grace of God and began to follow Him as they should? Even if you're to be weak, even if you fail tomorrow, return to God today, because He will truly meet you where you are. I'm asking this morning, and I'm going to ask Lynn if she would make her way down to the front. And as we evaluate our lives, as we begin to think about the situation of Jonah, I know one of the things I still remember growing up, and some of you may have either heard this or may have said this. If you've ever been a parent, you've probably said it. If you've ever been a child, you've probably heard it. How many times have you heard somebody say to you, "You got a bad attitude"? Yeah, you need to straighten up your attitude. You need an attitude adjustment. Some of us do. You know, when we look at this situation with Jonah, God's plan was that He was going to reach a city, and He was going to use somebody that hated those people to bring forth the Word of God. We find out that Jonah didn't even want to do that, but he realized he didn't want to be thrown, didn't want to be caught in a storm anymore and thrown over into the sea. He didn't want to have another ride in the belly of a fish, and he also realized that by God's grace he was alive, and the next time he may not be. Many of us need to repent today. We need to cut the past loose. Even though some of us are worried, some of us that are here, some of us that are listening, you already know exactly what God is wanting you to do. And because He has come to you for the second, maybe the third or the fourth time, and He is telling you, like He told Jonah, it's time for you to get to Nineveh. Folks, today it's time for you to start towards the Nineveh of your life, that you might fulfill what it is that God has in store, not only for you, but the people, the ministry, whatever it is, He's got plans for them as well. He did that with Nineveh. He used a man who couldn't stand them to go preach repentance, and in fact, Jonah didn't want them to repent. I've said many, many times, I don't think that he gave the best sermon that he could ever give. But yet God still did amazing things. Today, you need to stop allowing Satan to keep you in your past. You need to tell him it's time to step back. It's time for God's grace to wash over you, to cleanse you. And as we sing often in the church, to wash you as white as snow. Will you do that today? Where are you in regard to your walk with Him? As we have thought about this circumstance of quarantine, as it's starting to lift, I pray that as you return to the Lord, even as we have returned here today, this is not the way it used to be. But I pray that once we leave, we never come back the same, that we're different, that we're better, that we understand what it is that God has in store for us even more than we ever have. I have said that on behalf of the church, God has taken us out of routine because I call it a rut. And you know how a rut is defined? A rut is defined as a grave that's opened up on both ends. We have been forced to do things differently. And different's not bad. You know what God said? It's time for us to quit. What's the old song go? It says we're too busy singing, standing on the promises, but we're too busy sitting on the premises. It's time to get up and get out and be the church. Not just attend the church, but be the church. Individually and corporately, outside of these walls. Man, it is great for us to be able to come back and to gather again. But what is it that God is calling you to in the midst midst of this COVID-19 that we're going through, when He has taken our worlds and turned them completely upside down. Is this the storm such as the one that Jonah experienced? Is this the point where God says to you, as we're starting to be delivered from this circumstance and situation, in the stillness and in the shock and awe that you're still surviving, you know what God's doing? He is repeating for you once again the marching order that He gave you maybe a long time ago. I love second chances. That's what I titled this morning's message, Second Chances, because God is ruler over the second chance. And today, He wants to give you a second chance. And I hear it all the time. People say, but you don't know what I've done. Listen, it doesn't matter what you've done. You know, well, but God can't use me. Listen, don't say He can't. Look at all the times of failure throughout the Bible that God has restored and used those who have failed and failed miserably. He wants to use you. And then you say, well, what if I fail again? You probably will. But God is still wanting to use you. Isn't that great? Doesn't that show you the magnitude of love that God has for each and every one of us? Today, are you weak? Yeah, I pray that God's going to give you strength. I ask this question so many times. I always ask, where is it that you stand with our Lord and Savior? You know, I mentioned a moment ago that this wasn't a loss of salvation for Jonah. It was the fact that he had been disobedient. I always like the relationship that God speaks of when He talks about His children. Yeah, it's a great example. When we think about children, as parents, we understand and know how we love our children and we want what's best for them. And oftentimes that means we have to correct them. And this, God does the same thing for us. And He loves us even more than you could love your children. That is so hard for most people to even fathom. And because He loves us, He will correct us. Because He loves us, He will chasten us. But you know what? When your child messes up, they don't cease being your children. You don't cease loving them. In fact, those are the times when they need your loving arms around them and the reassurance that you're there for them. Amen? You know what? That's exactly what the Father is doing today. He's not going to let you get away with sin. He's giving you a second chance. He's calling you back to His open arms where He will put those loving arms around you and He will draw you close. Do not allow Satan to defeat you once again over something that God has forgiven you of. Where do you stand today in your walk and your relationship with Him? Has there been that time when you have confessed your sin to Him and said, Lord Jesus, I realize that I am a sinner. Forgive my sin and save my soul. Have you ever done that? If not, I'm just going to ask you, bow your heads right now, and if that's what the desire of your heart is, to simply say, Lord Jesus, today I know that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. God, I'm asking You to forgive me. Come into my life. Save my soul. Help me, Lord, to live like You want me to live. To live for You, not for myself. You know, maybe you're here today and you have realized that God's given you a second chance. Maybe for some of you, it might be a third chance, a fourth chance. And Satan is just saying, look, why do you keep trying? Well, listen, you keep trying because God keeps calling. That's why. You keep going back to Him because He loves you. Maybe you're here today and you need an attitude adjustment just like Jonah needed. Maybe you're here today and you need to get on with the plan that God has for your life. And maybe today it is time that you surrender your will over to His. I'm just asking you, if that's you today, just to bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I know that I have just messed life up. I know that I have been following my will and my way. And Lord, You're trying to get my attention. You're chastening me. You're calling me back home. And Father, today I come returning to You. Like the prodigal son, Lord, I'm going to run back into Your arms and experience your grace. So Lord, fill me with your peace and your love as I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, folks, I want you to know that if you trusted Jesus, if you ask him into your heart, I promise you, he has done just that. He has come into your heart. The Lamb's Book of Life has been opened. Your name has been recorded, and you will spend all of eternity with our Lord and Savior. And we want to celebrate with you. If you did that, I want to encourage you, let me know. If you're here, let me know before you leave. If you're not here, go to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org. Send me an email. Let me know. Give us a call at the church. We want to get you some material to help you strengthen your walk with our Lord and Savior. You know, if you're here today and you return to Jesus, I want you to know that when you walk out of here, you're doing so with clean hands. How many times have we sang, Lord, give us clean hands and give us pure hearts? It doesn't mean they won't get dirty again, but we try to keep them clean. We try to do what it is that God would have us to do. He's given you a second chance. Receive through grace his second chance today. Will you do that? Yeah, if you need some assistance with that, again, if you're here, just let us know. We'd love to help you. If you're not, contact us through our website and through the church. I'm asking that today you would spend that time with the Lord. I want to thank you all today for coming. Those that are social distanced here in our multi-purpose building. For those that are outside enjoying God's creation on the lawn, listening to God's word. For those that are over in our sanctuary who are listening by live stream. And for those of you who are joining us all over the country and even in other countries by way of this live stream. We pray that God will bless you and keep you and watch over you. Before I close in a word of prayer, I do want to remind our folks here that we're not passing the offering plates, at least at this point. But if you so desire to worship our Lord through giving, if you're in the multi-purpose building, you will notice the box that is set there by the door. You can drop your offering in there as you leave. If you are outside on the lawn, you will notice there on the table, there is another box that's there. As you exit, you can drop that in there. If you are going, if you're sitting in your cars and you're going to be leaving by way of the parking lot, our brother David Miller will be out there and have an offering receptacle that you can drop that in as you go by. If you're in the sanctuary, we're just going to ask that if you would just walk your offering down to the front. Right there on the communion table, you will see the offering plates. You can just lay that there. And if you're coming to us from home because you don't feel comfortable getting out yet, we love you. We thank you for joining us today. And as far as your giving, you're more than welcome to go over to our website page, which is www.oakridgecbc.org. There is a giving tab there. You can just click that. And you can give to the church so that we can continue to bring you God's word and we can continue to minister along the way. I'm going to give a couple prayer requests real quick. Then I'm going to close us in a word of prayer. I want to remind folks to continue to remember Joanne Williams. Joanne Williams is in the hospital. She has been on a ventilator. We're asking that we're going to update you through the church. Please don't call the family at this particular point. The reason why is because at this particular juncture, that's their only way to communicate with the doctors in the hospitals. And I know, listen, you folks are people of love, and you want to call and you want to check. Please just respect us in this, because we don't want to have JC and Kim tied up on the phone when they actually need to have the opportunity to be able to speak with the doctors and with Kim. They're keeping us up to date, and we'll keep you up to date. We also want to remember Francis Young. Miss Francis is in the hospital as well. We'll try to bring you a written update on her as we go forward. So there's probably a ton of things that I am forgetting. Today was a historic day for our church. This is the first time that we have ever done a live stream. We're reaching out to folks. There are folks at home right now that are listening in the same fashion that you are. So we're trying to get the wrinkles worked out on that. Before I close this in a word of prayer, I want to say a very special thank you to a bunch of folks that worked really, really hard this week to make this happen. we had Terry and Philip climb through the ceiling and went through three firewalls to be able to provide an access point for Wi-Fi in our sanctuary. So if you're over there in the sanctuary and you're watching this stream, Terry and Philip crawled through an attic to pull that. Jonathan Fondo brought an access point and was up there on the ladder getting that installed. If you're watching this by live stream, this is going actually through the computer, not just as simple as punch a button. There were three folks worked hard on that. You had Don Wright did a fantastic job in getting that set up. Kelly Joyce, as well as Blake Carter, who is running that at this point as we speak. We've got folks have been setting up equipment. Jeff has come today to run audio and sound for us. There are just so many people. Tim Wharf, who is running the live stream over in the sanctuary, who is also our webmaster, keeping everything up to date with that. I cannot say thank you enough for all that you all have done. Lori filling in on weekends, getting emails out. This is a great, great privilege to have this opportunity to come back together. We look forward to do that as we go forward. Let me ask the blessing upon the offering. Once again, we want to remind folks, please social distance with your families. Fellowship is something that we love to do. I'm going to ask that if you do that and you're going to be within 6 feet of somebody that's not in your family, please use your face cover. If you don't have those, we have some on the tables as well as hand gel stationed throughout. And we have disinfected our buildings. We got everything ready to go specifically to be able to come back for this day. Water systems was purged, everything. So it's a really, really great day. I have enjoyed it, and we look forward to the future. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon the offering, and we pray that God's going to give you a great day. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us, and we thank you so much that you are the God of second chance. Lord, we pray that as we see and realize through your conviction that there have been times we have failed you, we thank you for your grace upon us. Lord, we thank you most of all for salvation through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we will always, always cling to you no matter what. Help us in the midst of our sorrows and in the midst of our confusions to realize you're right there in the middle and you've got a plan. Lord, I thank you for our church body and our church family, that even though we're spread out, Lord, some are at home, some are here on the lawn, some are in different buildings, but Lord, we're here together to worship you. And Lord, we thank you so much for that opportunity. Lord, you have given us provision. You have provided for our families. You have provided financially for our church. And Lord, we thank you so much for that. So Lord, we ask that you would truly bless the tithe and the offering as we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll look forward to seeing you next week.